I invite you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9 as we continue our study. His name shall be called. I have the wonderful name of God, of Jesus, really. That is the everlasting Father. As you're turning to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, any young adults in the building? I want to invite any and all young adults, high school graduates to about 25-ish, ages 25. 18, 25. We have our Christmas party tomorrow, so that's going to be really, really fun and exciting, and hope to see you guys plug in for the next year as well. So if you know any young adults that are not doing anything Monday nights, we meet at 7 o'clock here at the church. Everyone's invited. Okay, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, a familiar passage because this is our third week that we've been going through this wonderful series, and I've just been so ministered by this series. Because the names of Jesus have been reminding me of the intimacy, the nearness, and really the intentionality of God to come and rescue me, us, from the bondage of sin and brokenness. So I'm excited to dive deep into this name of Jesus, that he is the everlasting Father. So, if you're taking notes, the sermon title today is The Gift of an Everlasting Father. Let's read together Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's share in a word of prayer together. Lord, we are so thankful for you, and we're thankful for this opportunity to sit and receive your word. Lord, would you open up our hearts, our eyes, our ears, by your spirit, that we may have an intimate time with you right now. Thank you, Jesus, for the people that are here. I trust in your sovereignty that you've brought each one because you have something to say. And so give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name we pray and we say, amen, amen. Amen. Hey, by a show of hands, anyone a scrapbooker or know of an avid scrapbooker? Anyone here? Creative memories, yeah? My mom loves to scrapbook. I mean, she'll go to scrapbook conventions, really, to buy paper and material. So she's, you know, she has a Cricut, she has all the cartridges, like, she is that woman. Well, I love her little projects that she does. There's five boys in my family, and for every one of us, she's created an album of memories. And as I received the topic of Everlasting Father, I was flipping through my album to take a picture of a photo that I love between me and my dad, and I want to show it to you this morning. That's my dad, and that's actually me. And I love this photo because I think I look like my dad, and I think that John River and I look very similar, correct? I love my dad. He's by no means a perfect dad. He doesn't claim to be. But he taught us how to read the Bible. Yeah, he taught us how to pray. He taught us the importance of communion. He taught us the importance of giving sacrificially and serving the church. And just love that photo of us. And the last time he was here during second service, it was to pray and dedicate my son unto the Lord. You guys remember that? It was a beautiful time. Well, he embarrassed me and my wife because in his prayer, he prayed for 12 more grandchildren, right? And the Lord is answering his prayer because I'm happy to announce that baby Savio number 2 is on its way. And end of May is the estimated due date. And we're excited and nervous. All the things, all the parents with multiple children are saying, yeah, the jump from 1 to 2 kids is the hardest. So prayers appreciated and any tips welcome, please. I need all the help I can get. As we talk about Jesus as our everlasting Father, the idea is that he is forever parental in his care towards us. Just like my dad was a great example of Jesus's care and love for me, so too Jesus is the perfect example of the Father's love, but also Jesus himself is forever parental in his care towards us. The outline for today is we want to camp out in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and look at specific key words before we close with application. So let's look at the first key word or words, this phrase, unto us. Let's read the verse again. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Everyone say, unto us. The son, Jesus, that Isaiah is prophesying about, he was a son given unto us. Let that sink in. What love the Father has towards us, that we would be given the gift of his son. What intentionality of pursuit, of passion for our souls. What grace, what a gift. Unto us the son is given. Do you know how the Bible describes us outside of Christ? The Bible says that we were once in rebellion and dead in sin, but unto us the Son is given. The Bible says, unto us who were slaves to darkness, to unrighteousness, and were enemies of God in our minds, unto us the Son is given. Isaiah is speaking about and prophesying about the Messiah, Jesus, and how his light would enter into our darkness. And what a gift that the light of the world would come and be with us. And not just temporarily, but as his name implies, forever. That he is forever going to be a father towards us. God's plan of redemption was always to send his son, Jesus, to die for our sins as the perfect sacrifice for all of mankind. We celebrate this season because one of his names is Emmanuel, God with us, that Jesus willingly came down to tabernacle among us. Again, what a grace, what a gift, because we know unto us, we don't deserve it. But because of who he is, he freely gives us his son. And how did he come unto us? We know in this Christmas story, as a vulnerable baby, laid in a manger, the humble king. We learned in our Revelation study that we just concluded, yes, his second coming will be that of a honoring general king with a white horse, full of power. But his first advent towards us was all that combined in the meekness of a little baby. I love this song by Brenton Brown. He writes about Jesus being the humble king, and I'd like to share this chorus with you because it articulates just how sweet and precious Jesus is to come to be with us as the humble king. Brenton Brown, he pens this song. You are the God of the broken, the friend of the weak. You wash the feet of the weary, embrace the ones in need. And I want to be like you, Jesus, to have this heart in me. 'Cause you are the God of the humble. You are the humble King. Thank you. The humble king who was born not in the nicest hospital but in a barn and then laid in a manger as a perfect example of the meekness wrapped in flesh, because God so loved the world that he would give us himself. Unto us, our humble king was given for us. And just like any gift, he is a gift, but he is ready to be received, open up unto, experienced, and enjoyed both now and for forever. So unto us a child is given, unto us a child is born. And Isaiah prophesies about our King Jesus. Now let's look at his name. There's so much meaning in a name. Isaiah prophesies of the child with the four names. He is the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And we need to understand this, that when Isaiah is penning this prophecy, he doesn't necessarily have in mind the Trinity, though it may be alluded to, because unto us a son is given, but his name shall be called Everlasting Father, maybe showing the oneness. But really, Isaiah is communicating not necessarily the Messiah's role within the Godhead, but the Messiah's character towards us. So Isaiah's writing with the idea and claim of Jesus as our everlasting Father, not so much as a doctrine of the Holy Trinity, but an announcement of the character and nature as Jesus as our forever Father. The language suggested in the Hebrew, the scholars write, that everlasting Father is a descriptive analogy pointing out Christ's character, that he is fatherly or father-like in his treatment towards us. And there's no love like a father's love for his child. I think I'm beginning to understand a little bit more of God's love now being a father of a child of myself. And there's no love like I have for John River. I love all the kids in our children's ministry, but there's a special love that I have for John River. And I can't help but think that's a little bit of the love that God has for all of us, that we have that special place in his heart towards all of humanity. He has that specialness, that tender love that he so likes to lavish upon us. And it's not a temporary love that we see so often in the world, because his name suggests everlasting love, everlasting Father. The word everlasting here has the idea of enduring, perpetual, forever and ever and ever and ever, or forevermore. The idea that Isaiah is writing is that Jesus is a father forever. And I love how the author of Hebrews writes the same truth in Hebrews 13:8, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is the eternal father for us. Any other king will leave their people after a short reign, but Jesus will reign over and bless his people forever, because he is everlasting, forever and ever and ever. If you are in Christ today, there's not going to be a time in all of eternity where you're not going to have a father figure in Jesus. What comfort and what security, especially in this season where there is high highs, but also very low lows. Everything we've ever dreamed a father could be, and everything you may have wanted from your relationship with your earthly father, Jesus is and will be. Let me say that again. Everything you ever dreamed a father could be, and everything you may have wanted in your relationship with your earthly father, Jesus is and will be for you. Jesus will forever, forever and ever be perfectly fatherlike in the way he shepherds and leads us. In Jesus, family, we have a perfect father forever. And sadly, the word father doesn't always bring to mind someone who shepherds, affirms, and stays close. In February of next year, I'll actually be celebrating 10 years of pastoral ministry. I was ordained in 2015, so in February of next year, it's 10 years, which is incredible. But before that, I was also serving as a full-time volunteer as a youth pastor for 7 years. So a combined ministry time of 17 years, which is pretty incredible to me. It's only by God's grace. But I've met broken families. I've met broken fathers. I've met the students who wish their father was present. I've met X, Y, and Z. My father is this, my father is that. And sometimes when you hear the word father, adjectives like distant, aloof, passive, absent, unreliable, selfish, uncaring, and or even cruel come to mind. Even among Christian families, far too many children experience the spiritual, emotional, and physical indifference and self-centered neglect from their dads. But here's the good news. Not so from Jesus. Amen? Not so from Jesus. Jesus is our everlasting Father. Jesus, our everlasting Father, came down at Christmas into a broken and sinful world to fill our hearts with heaven's love, to teach us how to love one another, and then to adopt us into his family. Where every other earthly father falls short, Jesus never does. Jesus teaches us how a father should love his children by being the perfect example of the Father. So you read in the Gospels, what is Jesus like? What is my father like? What is the heavenly Father like? Well, Jesus says this as he dialogues with Philip in John chapter 14, verses 8 to 10. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you have not yet known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works." So not only is Jesus the perfect example of the Father, he exemplifies what our Heavenly Father is like and how he relates to us. Every interaction of Jesus in the Gospels shows us a little bit about his Father-like care towards us. I think about the sinful woman, right? In Luke chapter 7, how she must have felt so nervous to approach with her offering of alabaster oil. But Jesus receives her. I think about the woman at the well, how she was the outcast and she was there because, you know, it was not the cultural norm for her to be around people because she had a past. But Jesus goes out of his way in his ministry to have a private conversation with her. I love that heart, that mercy, that intentionality of Jesus that I see in the Gospels, because that's how he is to me. That's how he is to us. And like all good fathers, Jesus is our protector and our provider, but here's a beautiful thing. Jesus protects and provides by giving us himself. What a gift. Jesus protects and provides by giving us himself. I love these I am statements in the Gospels. When our souls are hungry, he is our sustenance because he says, "I am the bread of life." And how timely is this bread of life, because where was Jesus laid in when he was born? In a manger, a feeding trough for the animals. And then he is now the bread of life, feeding our souls, both now and for eternity. When we are afraid of the dark or the darkness of the world, Jesus, he gives us himself. He says, "I am the light of the world." When we need shelter in community and a new family, Jesus says, "I am the door of the sheep." He's the gatekeeper. He keeps everything that's supposed to be out, out, and everything that's supposed to be in, in. He is our shelter. He is our community giver. When we are in need of leadership, protection, guidance, etc., Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." When we need rescue and redemption from our sins and our habitual sins, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." When we are in need of direction, truth, and eternal security, Jesus says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." When we need daily nourishment for our hearts, for our souls, to continue on living by faith, Jesus says, "I am the true vine." So how does Jesus protect and provide for us? He gives us himself. The greatest gift, he gives us himself. Speaking about these I am statements, sometimes they could be so too good to be true. That really, Jesus, you're all these things? And sometimes I wrestle with, can I approach you, Lord? I mean, you're so grand, you're so holy, you're so awesome. But I'm comforted that in the life of Jesus and in the Gospels and in his ministry, Jesus often said, "Let the little children come to me. And do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." I love the fact that Jesus, though he is this and God, he is still approachable. Even the kids wanted to come up to Jesus. It was the disciples who said, no, don't bother the master. But Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me." And that might be a word for us this morning, that we need to be like children and come to the Lord. We need to be with him. You know, there's something in kids that they just know, I don't like that person. I'm seeing it in John River a lot, you know, especially when he's tired. When he's tired, it's just mom. Even like, I'll try to take care of him because he's being fussy. But if he's tired, he's like, don't want dad. I just want mom. And he's picked up a weird little comfort thing where, I don't know, maybe your kids are like this. We could talk after, form a club. He's picked up this little thing to comfort himself where he'll suck his finger and then he'll touch his mom's elbow. Just, you know, just will twist the elbow skin. And, you know, I was trying to be helpful. I'm like, "John River, what about my elbow? I moisturize, you know, but my elbow does not work. It's just mom's elbow, you know." But So there's, yeah, we'll form the club afterwards, right? But I can't help but think, man, that comfort that mom gives, that John Rivers so desperately craves, is something that's built within us. That we have that craving for nearness, intimacy, that comfort. And I love the fact that Jesus is our comfort. Actually, he, by his Spirit, says, I'm going to give you the Comforter. And so wherever we are at today, wherever you are, you have a forever Father who is your Comforter, and he's available for you. And he knows exactly what you need. Just like John River needs that elbow, Jesus knows exactly what you need. And he's approachable. And why is he approachable? In Psalm 103, I appreciate how David pens this little phrase in Psalm 103, verse 13 and 14. Jesus is approachable because it says this, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. In other translations, the word pities is translated as compassion. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Jesus is not only approachable, but when we approach him, he understands. He understands exactly what we're going through. He understands every temptation. He understands every struggle, every high, every low. Jesus understands. He's approachable, and he actually says, come unto me. And he understands it in such a way because he became like us. He says, I know their frame because I became their frame. Philippians chapter 2, he humbled himself. God wrapped himself up in human flesh to become like us. So Jesus knows what it is to battle with the temptation of depression. Jesus knows what it is to be hungry. Jesus knows what it is to walk by faith and not by sight. And he says, you know what? I know what that's like. I adopted that frame, and here's some grace. Here's mercy. Here's my word. Here's a truth that you need to cling to. So Jesus is approachable. Jesus understands. And I love that when we come to him, we are kept by him. In John chapter 6, verse 37, Jesus says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast them out. In Jesus, you have a Father who never walks out on you. In Jesus, you have a Father who's never inconvenienced by you. In Jesus, you have a Father who is forever faithful. Jesus will never neglect his fatherly duties to us. Jesus will never cast us out. But you say, what about my sins? I'm really struggling with sin. Like, obviously, like, man, God doesn't love me. I love that in Romans chapter 5, we're studying it with the young adults. Paul unpacks this thought that grace, God's grace because of Jesus, super abounds over sin. Everyone say super abounds. Yeah, God's grace super abounds over sin, which means it's impossible to out-sin the grace of God. You say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Like, I can't be with you. I have grace, Jesus would reply. And my grace is abounding. The idea is that we can't sin more than God can forgive. We can't out-sin the grace of God. What a beautiful thing, right? That even when we feel undesirable, God still desires us, and he gives us much more grace. It super abounds over our sin. Has anyone ever read The Pilgrim's Progress before? Yeah, great book by John Bunyan. I encourage you, if you haven't read it, maybe it's a good gift to give yourself or someone this Christmas. He has another work of writing called Come and Welcome to Jesus, and he kind of lists out poetically some excuses that he would bring to God that God would surely cast him out. But taking this verse and exploding it, he has this dialogue. But I am a great sinner, say you. I will by no means cast out, says Christ. But I am an old sinner, say you. I will by no means cast out, says Christ. But I'm a hard-hearted sinner, say you. I will by no means cast out, says Christ. but I'm a backsliding sinner, say you. I will by no means cast out, says Christ. But I have served Satan all my days, say you. I will by no means cast out, says Christ. But I've sinned against light, say you. I will by no means cast out, says Christ. But I've sinned against mercy, say you. I will by no means cast out, says Christ. But I have no good thing to bring with me, say you. I will by no means cast out, says Christ. Hallelujah, amen, right? I would even add, but I don't even like myself. I will by no means cast out. But I've promised you just one more time and I keep on doing it. But I will by no means cast out. But I know better. I've been going to Calvary Vista all my life. I will by no means cast out. Any excuse that you may bring to the Father as to why you're not deserving of his love, he will reply, I'm not going to cast you out. If the Father gives you to me, I will keep you. And so, brother and sister in the Lord today, you are kept by Jesus. You are held in his righteous right hand. You may feel like you are being moved, but you are kept safe in his hands. Amen? Jesus remains a Father forever. What good news for us this morning. I wonder what I have statement resonates with you the most. And you by faith can understand and hear Jesus' voice say to you, I will by no means cast out. We talked about how unto us a son is given. Unto us who are in darkness, light has dawned. Well, as I talk about some application, unto us, the first word is, are you receiving him? And not just at the moment of your salvation. Yes, that's yes and amen. We need Jesus. We need him moment by moment, day by day. The call to live by faith is no easy task, but he by his Spirit will give us himself. So unto us, we need to receive and have a posture of receiving. And I've shared before, sometimes in the problem of receiving is that our hands are already full with things that don't belong there. So in order to receive this gift of Jesus and what he has for us, we have to let go. And that's called surrender. Get used to it. It's the Christian life. But Jesus even understands the temptation to, I just can't. But he is able. We talked about how the Lord is an everlasting Father. That his care for you will always go on and on and on forevermore. You can have rest in your soul today that you are forever kept. That Jesus will never let you down. Jesus will never neglect his fatherly duties to you. In Jesus, you have a perfect, everlasting Father. We talked about the word Father, how sometimes that word might rub us in wrong ways. But in Jesus, we have a forever faithful Father that wherever any earthly father falls short, Jesus will never. My question is, do you trust him? And if you say you trust him, trust him. Sometimes John River doesn't understand why he's not getting the third banana of the day. It's too sweet, right? His teeth will rot from all the sugar. But he's learning to trust that I have a better plan for him. When Jesus says no to something in our lives, maybe it's easy for the enemy to whisper and for us to agree, God doesn't care. But if we really trust him, even every closed door, every no is something for a yes later on. That's better. If we trust him. And so, trust your Heavenly Father. A word that maybe the Lord for today, as we were worshiping on the front end of worship here, was Jesus so desires for us to abide in his love, that we may understand his fatherly care up here. We may read it even devotionally every day and understand his fatherly care, but he wants us to rest in that fatherly care, which means anxiety can go. Overthinking can go. Worrying about what you can't control can go. And what you need to do is embrace his love. His love that is forever. his love that is relevant for your situation right now? What might it look like for you to better abide in Jesus' love today? If he really is your forever father, and he is, and if he is who he says he is, then what humility do we need to approach him with? What gratitude? And then expect what love to be lavished upon you as we submit to him. I'm going to call up the worship team, and I want you guys to think about those questions this week as we think about the Christmas season and what it means for us specifically as a body of believers, that Jesus would so love us that he would enter into our darkness to be the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and he loves when we come to him. He is not inconvenienced by you. I love that I have an always open door to our Heavenly Father. Amen.